This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
My name is Keen, and I am a nose queen too, and welcoming my extra special guest host for the season,
Erin McGathy.
Yay!
And I'm wearing just enough makeup.
And an extra bit on your nose, right?
Oh yeah, just only on my nose. But I do a full face on my nose. There are tiny little lips and eyes, the whole thing.
Well, thank you for joining me for this season. I'm so excited to have you along for season 15.
Well, I'm delighted to be guest co-host for the season. I'm honored. I'm a little intimidated because I have watched every single episode of Drag Race more than once, but I don't have an encyclopedic memory for all the different things. Yeah, so all the fans are going to have to forgive me a little bit. I'm great with emotions and takes, but I'll need a little help. I have a little guide in front of me for all the names of the queens in the season.
A little cheat sheet?
Yeah. Big Tracy Flick vibes in my approach to
nice.
The podcast.
Do you have like their star signs and everything and be like, oh yeah, well, you know, Selena did that because she's a Libra.
Yeah. I'm against her because her moon is rising in Capricorn. That's how I make all my decisions.
Right. Well, look, I'm excited to have you aboard. Let's get into season 15, episode 3.
Fad Camp is a comedy podcast about the ridiculousness of fad diets and diet culture, hosted by me, Grace Mulvey.
And me, Connor Dowling. If you have a body of any kind, chances are you've crossed paths with at least one of the bizarre diet trends we cover in our show.
And between me and Connor, we have done nearly every fad diet there is.
Juice cleansing.
Fasting.
The potato diet.
Which is actually a real diet, by the way, and we don't recommend it.
So join us as we try to make sense of the madness that is diet culture.
Find Fad Camp everywhere you get your podcasts and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Fad Camp Podcast.
Okay, so you weren't with me last week, so let's just catch up on episode 1 and 2. How did you find that? Was it like a fun start to the season?
Yeah, I loved it, especially the first group. But yeah, I was really excited. I'm excited that there are a bunch of young queens. I also love not that like I prefer the young queens, but I kind of like, even though I have kind of a lower tolerance than I should for conflict on the show, which is ironic for what a big fan I am of the show. I like the relationship between like the older queens and the TikTok queens. And twins are weird.
Twins are weird, but they're always very fun. I don't know actually if you saw on social media during the week that Sugar and Spice shared a photo of their 6th birthday, and okay, they had a bell and an aerial cake, and like their runways last week were basically like them living at their 6th birthday. Thought that was cute.
I think that's cute. My only issue so far, and maybe this will change, is that they're Sugar and Spice, but they seem to me to have the same drag persona. They're both really chipper Bratstalls kind of thing. I don't know. Are you seeing a lot of Spice from Spice beyond dark hair?
Maybe they're just both all things nice.
Right. Oh yeah, Sugar and Spice and everything. Oh yeah.
Maybe that's it. But yeah, no, like I don't see that distinct drag difference or in their aesthetic, other than like one has blonde hair, one has black hair.
Yeah. In the talent show, they both were coming out of a lying position. Just one was a coffin and one was a bed.
But I think what I think is really interesting is how, and I think we even saw on this week, is that when you see both of their looks together, it kind of adds, it heightens the individual aesthetic. Mm. And I think that's an interesting new dynamic to have for a contestant on the show, that like they come with a partner that like they're always like bouncing off.
Totally. Yeah, no, I love that. And also, like, obviously, like most all of us are really curious about like the relationship between two people who are identical to each other, because most of us don't have that experience. So like that'll, like when they were struggling to find their wigs and upset when they don't have the support of the other one, that's interesting. Not that I want to see them upset, but
no,
it's interesting.
No, absolutely not. Did you like Irene Dubois?
I mean, I never. I know a certain amount of this is done for television, but I'm never super keen on the queen that tries to like make her mark as like the cunty queen, even though obviously it was all framed and like, you know, we're drag queens, obviously we're gonna like throw shade at each other, which I appreciate. But yeah, there was a real kind of insecure lilt to it that I felt that I wasn't mad on. And the talent show thing like annoyed the hell out of me. Like it felt like it was like a subversion of like, well, you know, I'm so talented. What if I did nothing?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there is a good performance in that. Like when she just said that she had to shorten it down and she lost the beats, I kind of was like, okay, the way you described that made it sound like someone who really understands the act and understand what makes it funny and understand how it went wrong. But unfortunately, you only have one opportunity to shine on this show. Because James isn't doing the podcast anymore, he sent me a voice message after the episode, you know, during the week, because he had the freedom to watch whenever he wanted. And he said, her, I didn't like the vibe, the energy, or the talent. So
he
was not a fan.
yeah I mean, it's the same for me. Like it's not even that I dislike the drag, because I think she's a really talented drag queen, but I didn't like the vibe either.
My biggest takeaway from this episode is, and I didn't notice it last week because I guess it was like a double 2 hour long extravaganza, is for the first time in ages, I think maybe since season 8 or 9, it's only a 40-minute episode. And it really felt like that. Like they flew through it.
Right. So are they all going to be 40 minutes now?
I think so, because they've moved to MTV. So I think that's like the hour slot they get in MTV is like 40 minutes.
Right. With commercial breaks and stuff. Yeah, it did. It felt really, really fast.
I spent a lot of the episode going, oh, okay, so like, We didn't see much of them filming it. And I was like, okay. And then we didn't see much. Like, the runway was very quick. And I was like, where's all... Like, there must be something big that happens later on that we're going to spend all this time on. And then it was over. And I was like, oh, it's only been 40 minutes. Like, now we're used to it being an hour, maybe an hour 10 sometimes, All-Stars was. So, yeah, I definitely felt that they've probably, like, too many queens for them to fit a feasible episode into 40 minutes.
Yeah, and the All Queens Go to Heaven bit took quite a while just playing all of those. They all felt like a fourth too long. They all kind of overstayed their welcome.
Yeah,
these weird fucked up commercials.
Okay, so there was Team Anetra, which was Lux, Sasha, Selena, and Marsha. There was Team Amethyst, which was Lucy, Aura, Spice, and Poppy. And then the leftover team was Sugar, Robin, Jax, Mistress, and Malaysia. The only sort of bit of drama we really see in the setting up to it is that conversation between Jax and Sugar, where Jax almost like physically picks Sugar up and puts her into another seat to shut her up.
Yeah.
Very awkward viewing.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I'm just going to sit here. I don't. Not mad on that, but I appreciated. And also, I mean, I was a pretty annoying kid, I think. And I could see that happens all the time, obviously a lot of it's editing, that they're just like chatting all the time, but I appreciated that Sugar didn't make it a thing, and it doesn't seem to be getting them down the adversity. But yeah, the Jax, I would be so pissed off if I was on that team with Jax and then Jax did that, and it's like, cool, that doesn't resolve the tension. Now it's just like you've taken a bit massive shit in the middle of the table and now we have to like continue to work together. I don't know why they don't just like say, all right, I nominate Jax to be in charge. Who wants to second that? Yeah, who wants to nominate someone else? All right, let's vote. Okay, let's go. Like with the dance challenge from the previous weeks, that was so fucking painful to watch them. Like I was getting such tension in my chest imagining having to like do a big dance number with that many other people. Like how did they pull it out the way they did?
Yeah, it just, well, I guess, you know, again, it was edited down. It just didn't come across very favorable for Jax. And even like there was a follow up bit where Sugar was like, and what about this? Oh, will I just shut up? And Jax was like, yeah, just be quiet.
It's like, like, obviously Jax is insanely talented, but also obviously Jax doesn't have a load of experience directing people or organizing people or collaborating. It feels.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're jumping slightly to the end for a bit. It's like, but I felt I was the only one on my team who was doing all this. And I was like, well, you didn't really give anybody else a chance to do anything else.
So. Yeah. And it wasn't great. So what? Oh, yeah. That always gets me. Like, I don't know what I would do in that situation, you know, and how defensive I would be. But that's never a good look.
No. So Team Anitra, which I find always hard to say that, Anitra?
Anitra? I think it's Anitra.
Yeah, I think so. They were up first with Sasha Colby as the god, and with the neck crack, which was clearly the moment
genius.
Of the
that
episode.
That was great. Yeah, that was so good and funny. It was really funny up top and then became less funny and then really funny again.
Yeah, and it's helped by RuPaul shrieking every time. That always helps you laugh at something that's overdone. Even lines like, oh my god, I died a local girl, I thought was kind of fun. The therapy was a fun idea, the plastic surgery. But the real star of that was the neck crack, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I also appreciated like how rounded out it was versus I don't usually love these. Not that I hate this challenge, but like it's never something I'm super excited for and they don't typically make me laugh, but this time Anitra's group like really did.
I mean the episode was kind of the clips were kind of short enough that I don't think everyone really got their moments. Like I know Lux kind of ended up in the top. I didn't really think they stood out too much. I kind of thought Marsha did a better job, but that one also felt the best that I felt everyone got something fun to do, whereas that wasn't always the case in all of them.
I said that like with the group, the leftover group, I'm curious if you felt this way. I was like, I feel like this joke would work a lot better if I knew that, and it was Spice in this group.
Sugar.
God, I'm going to be real annoying mixing these up throughout. The whole time, all I was thinking was Sugar is parodying a character that she's literally never interacted with because she's not really a live drag performer.
I thought it was a fun idea, like to kind of have a joke at the hen party in the gay space, I guess, which was fun. But yeah, it was kind of just played as a valley girl rather than an annoying, you know, girl in the club.
I mean, I wonder if it would have worked better or if this would have been punished if the drag was less draggy, like if she was actually trying to look like a cis woman, or I don't know how to say this without sounding like weirdly problematic, but she looked like a gorgeous drag queen.
Yeah, she looked like a Barbie doll. It was less everyday plain Jane, I suppose.
Yeah,
you kind of had to do some work with it as well, like that whole bit where the queens like pretended to be Silky and Eureka and Jada and Oshangela. You kind of had to piece it together as it was going along. It wasn't really clear, and then they kind of didn't I guess they had the opportunity there to knuckle in on the fact that a lot of times some queens get confused for each other. If they're queens of color, they get confused. Monet and Bob, if they're plus size queens like Victoria Scott and Lawrence Chaney, they get confused. Like that is actually a genuine problem that's with the fandom, and it's kind of like introduced and then taken away before there's any sort of any chance to do anything meaningful with it.
Totally. Yeah. I thought that was a really funny idea. But yeah, you're right. It should have been explored a bit more. Yeah, and I do think that like the seed of the idea is really clever. I like that it's like the perspective of this hen party girl. Her heaven is their hell. I think I wanted the queens or the queens that were playing queens to be more of the comedic element than Sugar. Like I just found Sugar kind of annoying, which I know she's like meant to be annoying.
Yeah, and it also doesn't answer the question of like what does a drag, because I mean I don't think Rue ever explicitly states what the challenge is, but it's like an infomercial for heaven for drag queens. I know. And it's like, yeah. That's more of it. It's like, that's not actually drag queen heaven. That's a, well, that's a hell. You know, maybe that's being too pedantic. But if there was like some like drag or fag hag, whatever, who stumbles into drag queen heaven and she explores it that way, that's kind of maybe a more fun way of taking it.
For sure. Yeah. Am I mixing them up, or like, were they presenting it as if like, this is drag queen purgatory, so you have to get through this in order to get to.
Oh, maybe. Heaven? Yeah. Because they said drag hagutory.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Again, see, not very clear.
But it wasn't clear. It wasn't clear. I actually did think, which wasn't fair on retrospect, I was like, oh, they don't know what purgatory is.
But now... Have you not seen Lost?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because then there was like lip sync for your afterlife. So yeah, maybe that makes sense with the purgatory.
Yeah.
Vibe.
So they should have explained it a bit more.
Mm. Yeah. Probably. No, it was difficult. I think it did have more of a thread than the second one, which was like over the rainbow. It was like a smorgasbord of ideas that didn't really complement each other. And then it was like, oh my God, it's Dolly
Parton.
That's
giving more credit than Stu, that it was a smorgasbord of ideas. I think it was more of a smorg of idea. One idea. But like, then, what if drag queens liked come, let's watch 5 minutes.
But then Dolly Parton as God was totally different, like was a totally different idea. Then they threw in at the end and was like a bit of a saving grace for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to see any more queens pretending to perform fellatio on the show. Is this controversial?
No, I'm just laughing at how like sweet that and wholesome that's. You're like, save it for the wedding night, guys. I mean, like, I don't mind it, but also it is, you gotta elevate on it if you're gonna like just having fellatio as you isn't really anything. You know, I felt a little scandalized by the when Amethyst was in the tub.
Oh, like the facial.
Squeezing a bottle. Facial. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
But the sound effect made it sound like piss.
Yeah.
It was confusing. I was like, so it's piss coming out of, I just was like.
I know, out of a little bottle.
Rue loves blue humor. He says it himself in this episode. Mm-hmm. It's an easy way to make him laugh. Do something smutty, and that's fine. And I'm all for that. But it's just, we've been through so many kind of like the same blowjob joke over and over again. Like the you know, wiping the bit of cum off the side of your lip. Oh, like it's been done.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, there's no subversion there. Like, it's like, okay, heaven is having a lot of sex and getting to joyfully do depraved things. I don't think there's anything subversive about that. It's like, okay, you're a bunch of sexual beings who want to have sex in heaven. Also, it's all stuff that is, now I'm like forgetting the different beats of it, so this might be wrong, but was there any part of that that wasn't anything that's totally available to all of them literally right now in this moment? I don't know.
Virgin.
I'm a straight cis woman. I'm a virgin, so I didn't understand any of it. I'm a straight cis woman, so you know, maybe I'm wrong, and you don't have to answer this, Kian. But I feel like the value of a facial is in the eye of the becomer, the universal. Like, I feel like it's more about the, I don't know, the other way around versus like, oh, finally I get cum all over myself.
Yeah. And like, that's something that's available to them in the real world. Like, even if you talk about subversion, that first joke with the blowjob, like, I guess they're trying to subvert it to be like, I was eating a banana the whole time. But it's not believable that you'd be on your knees in front of somebody eating a banana at their crotch. So like, I don't know, is there a different
that
angle?
That is a joke. That's a joke in a Nancy Myers movie called The Intern. There's like... That is so boring and lame. Yeah, in the Anne Hathaway movie. And the, yeah. like to be fair, this is the dirtiest part of the movie. But again, headline, this is a Nancy Meyers movie. Mm. Nancy Meyers Who Brought Us, It's Complicated, Something's Gotta Give. And The Parent Trap has a scene where Rene Russo is giving Robert De Niro a massage, but it looks like she's giving him a blowjob. It's okay. literally the same joke, but she's just giving him a very strange massage.
It was definitely route one. You know, what would heaven be like? Yeah. Having a lot of sex. Cool. That's
yeah. Cool. They're just like, oh, it'd be hilarious to show all these sexual things. But yeah, there's no there's no ground there. There's no like steady platform. It's not like they're in a church or they're literally in like a imaginary utopia. So it doesn't matter.
Right. From crass sexual humor to some serious conversation, Mistress and Malaysia have a really nice moment here talking about growing up in the religious South and, you know, praying the gay away. And actually the way I thought Mistress described as like her first bully being her family, I thought was a really striking way of describing the oppression she went through. And I really liked this for them. I think Mistress not so much, but I think Malaysia has maybe struggled to get as much airtime as maybe she's due. And I really thought it was really great to get to know both of them in this scene.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like I want to see more of Malaysia. Like I feel like I don't have my mind totally like wrapped around her. Yeah, but yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. 100%.
And I always like those. I just skipped to the tearful coming out stories. That's all I all I do. Well, my boyfriend gives me a facial. That's my downtime. Give me those sweet horrific tears. Childhood tears.
Did they beat you? Did they beat you?
You weren't allowed to be yourself.
Onto the runway, the category was Metallica, and I kind of like, I had to watch this twice to take notes on this properly because
so fast,
it was so quick. And so like fast. I said at the top, like I was like, why is all the time? But I guess they're squeezing 15 queens into, I think it's about 4 minutes, the full runway. It's very, very
quick.
Overall, I don't think there was a whole lot of this that I loved. But first up was Anetra, who said she was giving Lady Gaga meets Charlize Theron. It was like a silver cape with big sort of silvery metallic shoulder pads with a black bodice and like a pixie cut.
Yeah. I mean, I love Anetra. I'm guessing you do as well.
Yeah.
I'm the same in that, like, I feel like with this theme specifically, like I'm not like aesthetically, I'm never, it takes a lot for me to like love like a metal kind of look. I don't know. It sounds weird. So I don't feel like I'm the best judge of things, but is it, and I love Anetra, but is it not? I mean, it's, well, I guess the jacket's cool. I don't know. Like it's perfect. It's my favorite thing I've ever seen.
I just find with a lot of these, and even last week, I think that is a solid drag look.
Yeah.
I don't have that much critique about it, but it also doesn't like slap me over the face and say like, you need to pay attention to me.
Sure. You know, if I was to have any critique for this look, it would be that the legs look so bare that I wouldn't mind like some kind of metallic fishnet or some kind of something, not a fishnet because that would look weird, but it feels like she's missing pants to me.
I can see that like it, needs an extra bit. Sasha Colby was up next. She gave us like showgirl porcupine.
Showgirl porcupine, yeah.
I think my favorite part of it is the headpiece, and you kind of don't really get to see that much until she turns around. Yeah, and how it's all the mirrors are kind of like forming. It's just, it's really ornate and really interesting.
No, I do like that. And I don't usually like like showgirl style things, but I do like this. And I do really just like Sasha. Yeah. She's older and obviously like a vet and everyone loves her, but she has enough confidence in herself to not be like super defensive or weird or you know, like previously, and if I was better at this at guest hosting for the season, I'd be able to reference a bunch of older queens who have come in and, you know, like very understandably, you know, really want to show that they're great because they have so much of their, you know, livelihoods and you know, identity wrapped up in being an amazing queen. Mm-hmm. But she's like just such like so chill, and she's like, I know I'm great, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna show off what I do. But there's not like a desperation to like beat out the other. I don't know. I'm not sensing that, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's real quiet confidence, and I guess that comes with experience, really, right? You know.
Yeah, and probably comes, and I'll, you know, be a bit sexist. Maybe also comes with her being a woman. You know, so there you go. Exactly. Oh, did I tell you I hate gay men? I haven't.
No, I'm just laughing because everything I know about, you know, being a woman is you're told to doubt yourself more than men. So I like that flipping it you put on your head.
That's true. That is what we get in the workshops at the beginning of.
Guys, you're gonna have to doubt yourself more. Okay. Yeah. Selena S. Titties was up next, and she kind of just had like a disco ball cat suit and decided to decorate it with street signs. Yeah. I'm now only
like,
really.
This looks like something I would do, which means I don't think it's good.
What's on her head?
It's meant to be like the like a gas lamp, the top of a gas lamp, or like a
street light.
A street light. Yeah, I should just say a street light. It's not even a gas lamp. Yeah, there are lights like that. Before I lived in Los Angeles, or in Dublin, I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years. And there are lights that look exactly like this in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't need to like drop that I lived in LA, so that's how I know. But yeah, it doesn't really come across that way. I feel like it should have been lit the whole time.
It does look like sort of a Chinese lantern more than anything else. Like it just,
yeah.
I mean, I guess if I could see the visual prompt, it'd make more sense to me. But like, I get the idea that it's a street light and it's a fun idea. And the chains is a motif throughout the runway of like how people are bringing metallic into the runway. But yeah, I don't know. I find so far everything I've seen from her, like the finish isn't immaculate.
Yeah. I like her vibe. I like the you know, not to volunteer more autobiographical info, but I grew up in San Diego, and she reminds me of a lot of girls I was friends with. Mm-hmm. And so it feels very comforting to me. And I don't know that we've had too many like West Coast Chicana style things. And I love that.
If she had worn nothing but the signs and the chain, that probably would have been better.
Yeah. It's too. Yeah, you're totally right. Like if the signs were arranged in a way that was like covering her bits, that would have been cool, I think.
Yeah. Lux Noir London. This kind of for me was one of the more nice but indistinct looks. Like I think she looked great. That gold with the flames looked brilliant on her skin tone. I thought the hair looked great.
Yeah.
But like if I saw it and I was told to choose, you know, guess what the runway category is based on this, I'd have no idea where to go with it.
Yeah, I probably would have thought that it was like a goddess thing.
And I think there was a lot of people who were trying to go for alien goddess. There was a few like warrior princess like motifs as well. I think she was kind of going for one of those, like it's quite Greek goddess, I think, is the closest reference point we'd go for, I think, with that.
I was gonna ask you, like, what do you think like the alien goddess reference point is most of the time? Like I'm thinking back to like things I've seen, I'm like, how often is there an alien goddess? Like, I'm just thinking of like Species and
Mars
then
Attack?
Like the original Star Trek. Yeah.
It's like her, you know, big sexy lady, but like not from a fashion magazine.
Right.
So it's alien. Like it's slightly unconventional.
I think it's big sexy lady, but not from a fashion magazine. Keen Sullivan 2023. Big sexy lady. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was genuinely asking because I'm like, I feel like I'm like maybe missing something, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's just like any sort of like fantasy space thing. I think it does make sense. Like there's not a specific thing.
I don't think so.
Right.
think so. It's Big Sexy Lady.
Sexy Lady.
All right. One of my favorite looks of the runway, and I guess I'm much more of a concept fan than a fashion fan per se, was Marsha and her Tin Man, but imagined through this like French maid costume. I thought this was like, you can clearly think Tin Man, metallic. It's, she still looks great in it. Yeah, I think, you know,
yes.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it too. I mean, is she dressed like a Oktoberfest waitress? No.
Okay. No. Yeah. I got more French maid, but I think the off-the-shoulderness of it all, it may be more Bavarian.
I think you're right that it's more French maid. I think just like the bustier, the way the metal sort of looks like a bustier is sort of giving me October. What is the word? There's a name for
an like the lederhosen.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of vibe. But I think you're totally right that it's French made.
Amethyst was up next. This was the Golden Sun goddess. Yes. Was kind of the motif with this one. It kind of
big
reminds
sky
you of
lady.
Big sexy sky lady.
Big sexy sky lady.
It really reminds you of the lame that Raja used on All Star 7 for really gave me that. This is actually, you know, this is really like fashionable for Amethyst, which is not, I kind of thought you'd be going more concept in her looks, but I really like it.
Yeah, I love it. Like, she looks exactly like Christina Aguilera. Like, I have the screen frozen right now.
With the Bichon Frise wig.
Yeah, exactly. And like the makeup looks very Xtina. But you know what I fucking love are the boots. I think are incredible. I love, you know, I know that this is just like part of the drag process, but I personally hate matte tights. Which is just part of drag looks. That's just life. But if I'm seeing too many matte tights, it makes me think of like a school recital or something. So I love cutting those off with like some gorgeous boots and the way that this moves. Oh, and I also like that the boob cups are just kind of like fluttering above the chest. You know, it's almost like two golden butterfly wings have just like landed on her titties, which I like. It's not about scooping them up or covering them up. It's just like anointing them, which I'm into. Yeah.
It's pure visual, no function.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Princess Poppy was up next. She said this was a nod to R2-D2, which I didn't get necessarily at all. It gave me more Katy Perry, I think, with the blue wig and the California girls. Mm-hmm. This definitely did feel a cut below the rest.
Yeah, it looks like Katy Perry doing a B-52s tribute.
Okay, I see that.
And I love the B-52s, mm-hmm. and I think Katy Perry is talented, even though I'm not a, what do Katy Perry fans call themselves? Parrot heads?
Like that's
Katy Perry.
Parrot heads.
That's Jimmy Buffett.
No, it's like a Katy cat.
A Katy cat? Well, I think so. Okay. I don't know why. I have nothing, you know, anything that I have against Katy Perry is just anything I have against my own self. So, you know, I have nowhere to talk. But the blue wig is like, so yeah, I don't get it.
Spice is up next with one of the two, I guess, Bratz dolls look between her and Sugar this episode. I think this maybe works. I mean, maybe when I get to Sugar, I might change my mind, but I think this maybe works a bit better. Like from a metallic point of view, she has the little robo dog. Even the tights look metallic in there.
Yes, I love the tights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What color are we saying? That blue? Turquoise?
That's a teal. Yeah.
Okay, like a blue. Yeah. Okay. And even the metallic hip pads. Yeah, I think it's strong and it fits the world of Sugar and Spice. So I liked it.
For sure. Yeah, and she does look like a doll that, not myself as a girl child, but my fellow girl childs would have loved. And not just girls, people who like this kind of toy where it's like hyper feminine and cutesy with, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. And I do like the little dog.
Yeah, no, it is definitely cute. Aura is up next. She said this is a Mugler inspired Emerald City Moon Queen Power Ranger. Like, I mean, there's a lot of just different ideas in there, right?
Again, with this idea of like a space queen, moon queen, like people say this as if we all understand what it means, but okay.
Like, fine. I think it's because she has a crescent on her head. She goes, yeah. Okay, Moon Queen. I don't get Power Ranger from it, except maybe the sleeve things. What would you call them? Like a band around your forearm.
Oh, that's, yeah. Kind of, yeah, I can see that. There's kind of a superhero thing. I guess, like, the thing that, when they say alien, it's the thing that's, like, that looks like a liquid that's been frozen, like a Prometheus kind of element. Yes. Like, it looks like organic material that has hardened, and that is what alien means to us. So, fine.
I think you're right. I think you're dead right with that. That's well described. Because up next is Lucy, and she also says some sort of intergalactic warrior, she calls this one, which, I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it, in her magenta and gold.
Yeah.
Because with the two of them, is it just iridescence that they call alien? Like that, I guess that's also metallic as well, because I guess magenta and gold is what Lucy goes for, and it's like that bodysuit and then more of those things I can't describe on the arm, shoulder blades, and like
it looks very gem to me,
and the holograms.
Yeah,
I see that. Also, like, Judy Jetson is always thrown around. If anybody does anything that's somewhat space-like, they say Judy Jetson. But, like, I think both of these to me feel more like promo looks or lip-sync looks rather than anything that's, like, specific to a category.
Yeah.
Jax is up next with her namesake from Mortal Kombat, Jax, with the cyborg arms and the camo kind of short things. I mean, this is designed to reference something, but I don't love it. Like, I don't know how it's aesthetically pleasing I find it.
Did you ever play Mortal Kombat? I think I played it like once or twice at like,
I was more of a Tekken person.
Okay.
Similar idea,
that's right? My pretending to like understand it while I run through the Rolodex in my head, like Tekken. Yes, no, I do know what Tekken is. Yeah. Do you know this reference?
So it is supposed to be a male character, obviously, with cyborg arms and like a big muscular man. So I guess that's where you're picking up on the masculinity.
Because
the shape of the body isn't feminine.
Well, it's the punching of the hands and stuff. And when I say like I want padding, it's not because I want Jax to look more like a woman. It's just that Jax's body to look more, I don't know, it seems like the outfit's wearing Jax.
I think her head looks very small relative to her shoulders, so would a more of a curve accentuate that maybe, or make it less? I don't know.
Yeah,
well, Robin Fierce is up next. She's giving us almost kind of like Wakanda energy with this with the spear, the gold boot, the long, it looks like almost braided hair in the with like steel gold hoops to it. I thought this was a really strong look, and I think you do get the elements of metallic throughout it. I think it's a shame that a lot of the queens focused on a chain because I think it waters down a lot of the chains, but I think the chain is a good reference to go to for metallic more so than Judy Jetson.
Yeah. For sure. I feel like this looks really complete. It looks like a whole thing. There's like a story. I do like the spear. I think the spear's really cool. I think it's cool. The hair is amazing too.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those looks. I think that's kind of why some of that like Black Panther wardrobe is so great, is that like, it's not too far away from what actual people would wear. Like, you could imagine someone going out to a club wearing, you know, 80% of this, but it's that extra 20% that is like, brings it to like, you know, this
high fashion
intergalactic warrior level or whatever. I think is very fun, which I think
same here. And I love any of the wardrobe from from any Black Panther film. So I'd be happy if everything was derivative of those looks, because they're so incredible. But yeah, I totally agree.
Mistress is up next. This is another chain look. I think hers has the most emphasis on the chain that she's dragging along with her. She has a really great sort of B shaping in the ruffles around her neck, and then the dress is kind of like pieced together by chainage.
I love it. I think it's really cool. I love the slimmer panel in the front, and like I'm looking at it again. I didn't even notice it the first time, but the chains like up her thighs or on either side of that, like really into that. And the silhouette that she's creating is like really rad, and it is more difficult for big queens to like create this sort of look. And yeah, it's incredible. I feel like she should be rewarded for that. I want there to be like more of a, and this is being so nitpicky, but I want to know why she's carrying the chain. Or like, I think it would be cool if like, you know, like Jacob Marley in Christmas Carol has to carry his chains because it's, you know, represents like all the shittiness he did during life. Like, why is this person carrying a chain? Like, it looks like she's carrying the chain like a clutch.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the reason of it? Like, yeah, if it was a tail or if it was a weapon, it's unclear what the function of it is.
Or if it's something that like she is like, if she was chained. Yeah, I wish it was. This is what this would be like. My amendment to the look would be that it was, she had, maybe this is too on the nose, and this is also why I will never win Drag Race. This is the only reason. Like if it was cuffed to her and then was broken and she was just walking out as if she was walking out of like being imprisoned. And she's just sauntering out the door. Like she's just annihilated all of her captors.
Or you can even tie it into like her mirror moment earlier on of breaking through into her being mirror herself. Moment, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
that would have been a lovely story to tell. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Sugar Bratz doll number two this time in silver and pink. I think did I say I preferred the other one? Because now looking at this one, I think I preferred this one. With
you
the
did,
chaps.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like the hair
as
much.
They're so pretty.
And like that silver is so reflective as well. Like it's basically a mirror in it. It's I love the two looks, how they talk to each other. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think it looks cool. I mean, they look like really complete looks. And yeah, I love what they're doing with their legs. Cause again, I'm like, and please call into the Sissy That Pod phone line if you too hate matte tights. Yeah, I think it looks good.
Yeah,
me too. And playing to their strengths.
And finally, Malaysia baby doll fox gives us kind of a similar color palette of last week, but I think just as strong. Again, it's a gown with sort of chains just hanging off it around her neck as well, just accentuated, I think, chain earrings as well, and then like a horned wig, is that what you'd call it?
Yeah, it's like evil stepmother of the bride is what it's giving, which I like.
Which it looks like she presents it really well, and it's also like real sort of like southern pageantry drag that I think works really well for her.
I agree. Yeah I think it looks cool. I don't usually like silver and white together or a ton. Like I don't know what it reminds me of, but it reminds me of maybe just ladies with too much perfume at church just covered in costume jewelry. But yeah, I think it looks cool, and I like the wig is so different.
So that brings us to the critiques. In the top were Sasha, Lux, and Lucy, and in the bottom were Princess Poppy, Jax, and Amethyst. Anything you'd change about that?
I don't know if I would have put Amethyst in the bottom. I don't know. I'm partial to Amethyst. I hope that she sticks around long enough to like do some stuff, because I feel like she's really funny and I like her. I don't know. I like her vibe, even though it's not coming across.
Yeah, me too. Like I kind of thought the edit was giving us an Amethyst elimination, and it just felt kind of strange how much we had seen her in the edit already to think that she was going home, because we see her a lot and she's really got her personality across, more so than maybe Princess Poppy we've seen of her anyway.
And she gives good head, as in talking head, I think.
She does.
Yeah.
And like, but in the same token, I'm not sure how well she's going to be able to bounce back from a double in the bottom first two episodes. Like, she'll have to win Snatch Game next week, I guess, to if she wants to go the full length. But no, I do like her. Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, other than Sasha being the winner and other than Jax being in the bottom for me for the main challenge, and Princess Poppy being in the bottom for the worst look, in my opinion, it was hard to really place anybody else. We hardly saw too much of anybody.
Yeah, and so it's always hard to place people. Well, I mean, obviously there are so many queens of this stage, but I feel like it's always hard to judge the green screen challenges when there are so many of them.
It was very telling though when Rue said to Jax, "I don't remember any of your lines. Tell me one of your lines." And Jax looked, "Well, actually, they got lost in the improv of it all."
Oh, because everyone else was improvising. It's like, stop. Like, you're not. Yeah, that's really frustrating, especially when someone's so talented. But, you know, I get it. And I get that's a really, you know, high stakes emotional moment. But yeah, it's, you want her to not do that, especially given how talented she is.
Yeah, 100%. So Amethyst and Princess Poppy are chosen to lip sync to Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Diana Ross. There's like one goofy and one, like, I guess almost earnest performance. Poppy giving us something we haven't seen before by getting down off the stage and walking in front of the queens and presenting them like a prize on The Price is Right. Which is what we haven't seen before. So for that reason, I thought she was going to win, but no. Who won the lip sync for you?
I mean, I'm happy with the results, but I do think that the Princess Poppy was more interesting. But like with both of the songs, like with Seven Rings and with Ain't No Mountain High Enough, like both great songs that I love, but it's the tempo never gets high enough to like really to see any sort of like mad acrobatic stuff. Not that that's what lip syncing is all about, but you know, I know that Poppy is a dancer and stuff, so I liked I thought the comedic stuff was fun and it was engaging, and I think they just want to see, if I had to guess, I would guess that they want to see Amethyst do Snatch Game.
Yeah, probably. I think they also wanted an earnest performance of Diana Ross because Rue loves Diana Ross so much, I think. But I felt Poppy was giving us something we hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they can be relatively fickle as to whether they want a comedy lip sync or not. Because Amethyst was kind of just like a straight down the line lip sync.
Like the pussy pointing at Ain't No Valley Wide Enough. I enjoyed. I like that. I was like, that's pretty good.
So I'm sad to see Princess Poppy go. I know she says in Untucked that she was happy with whatever she did once she didn't go home first. That she was contemplating leaving drag and that she was like, let me just quitting drag, yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But she wanted to do Drag Race just to see how she goes, and she's happy with whatever she does once she doesn't go home first. So she seemed least outwardly at peace.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really interesting because I did feel like, I think what made her go home was in the critiques, she looked like she was already self-defeated. You know, like we can see in a queen's eyes, like, yeah, I get it. Like they're thinking about like what they have to pack up in the workroom while they're like getting their critiques, and they're not like, they don't have any fight in them. And I feel like the second that Rue or Michelle can like smell that they have given up, then they're like, all right, you shouldn't have a place here. Like,
yeah,
I mean, and it's the easiest. I think, you know, with the understanding that Michelle and Rue are both like very compassionate people, that is the easiest thing to eliminate because you don't want to eliminate someone who really, really wants it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think it's a shame though. She's like, I thought that puppet duet last week was so fun. And I think she's like, But I just, the show, obviously because she was going home second, the show didn't give her a lot of airtime. But I just kind of felt, you know, had this been another sequence of challenges, she may have done quite well.
Yeah.
She seems like a proper talent. Next week is Snatch Game. What we're getting is basically two panels of seven queens on Snatch Game. So not all
oh, thank God.
Be honest.
Yeah.
how are they going to squeeze that into 40 minutes along with a runway? Not entirely sure.
Oh my God.
But I guess we'll
make
have
it
to
a longer episode.
Yeah, please. I paused the promo for next week several times so I can tell you who some of the queens are going to be. Jax is going to give, so there's a lot of people who we've seen on the international franchises, or you know, I guess celebrities on the international franchises that people are going to try this season. So Jax is going to be the Mona Lisa, which we've seen in Spain before. Lucy is going to do Joan Collins, which we saw in Canada, but I think that would be a great one. Sugar or Spice is going to do Miley Cyrus. I'm not sure which one it is.
It better be good.
I think it's like 2013 MTV twerking on Robin Thicke Miley Cyrus.
Okay. It just, I'm a big Miley fan. But it better be really good, because she's someone who's made her whole personality and thing like so available to the public that if it's not hitting all those notes, like I'm going to be pissed off.
I think she'll be tough to parody. I'm not sure how you parody her.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd make fun of. Like,
I don't know. Do you know who Jan Crouch is?
The name sounds familiar,
I think they're like a televangelist.
Okay. Yeah.
Someone's doing Jan Crouch anyway. As the resident American, I'm leaning on you to provide the cultural context for Jan Crouch for next week.
Yeah. It sounds familiar.
Someone's doing Amanda Lepore. We don't know who.
That
Marsha
seems weird.
I know.
That seems, well, or maybe not. I don't know.
I think it's just like a default.
Amanda Lepore does Amanda Lepore.
Yeah. Like, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, I know who Jan Crouch is. Yeah. Okay.
I think Amanda Lepore is so close to a drag queen that it's kind of the drag queen being herself, I think, when they do Amanda Lepore. Marsha is going to do Tim Gunn, which I think could be really fun. And Nitra is going to do Gordon Ramsay, but as, like, Gorgina Ramsay. And Selena Estiti is going to do the Virgin Mary. And Malaysia is going to do Saucy Santana.
Okay.
So you can stay tuned for that. So overall, is it still piquing your interest, season 15? Are you still excited to see how it all unfurls?
Absolutely. Like, full disclosure, I'm always really excited to see, like, what happens. But, I feel like I'm extra excited, because the talent show got me really excited to see what was going to be pulled out. Like, I was so into Anitra's thing and Jax and Marsha and like all, yeah, I just really excited. I also, like, for what it's worth, Marsha's bit, I think, is, you know, as a comedian, I like that was like the best shaped like solo comedy bit in my memory, so I was really excited about that.
Better than Willow Pills?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I won't say better. I mean, I thought it's way harder and way more effective if you do it properly to play a like innocent, vulnerable character and make that funny. And it wasn't just funny because it was like a juxtaposition of like a gross thing and an innocent thing. It just very human and relatable, and like, not that it's hilarious to have a crush on Ross Matthews, but he does give kind of asexual energy, so it is funny. Like, it's not making fun of him. Like, it was a great person to choose because it feels like he's in on the joke. Yeah, I loved it. That was great.
It was really, really great. Cool. Well, join us back next week where we'll be discussing episode 4 of season 15, Double Snatch Game. Squeeze into 40-minute episode. Let's see how it turns out. If you are listening along, let us know. Do you like the 40-minute episodes? Would you prefer the hour? Did it feel too short? Was it just the good stuff? let us know. You can hit us up on sisters.pod on Instagram. Until then, see you, love you, bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.